You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. Thank you very much for joining us today for this episode number 638. So glad you're with us. Hope you're having a fabulous day, week, whatever it is. Nice drive if you're listening while you're driving.
Or maybe if you're watching on YouTube, I don't know.
Nice too.
That vlog is coming out soon. Be ready for it.
We're all waiting. Bated breath.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm ready to edit for you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've got the first episode done. It's just that you've got to come up with episodes after the first episode.
You're not having writer's block, are you?
There's definitely no writer's block. No, there's video block. Not video blocks.
Not video blocks.
Or box.
Video block.
Yeah. But
no, you've never been on had a shortage of ideas, Paul.
That's not a problem for me. The problem is the follow-up, which I'm working on daily.
So we all have our hills to climb, our mountains to climb,
our Appalachias to climb.
That's right.
This question, guys, today is brought to you by the Drone You community. It is the premier online drone training community on the planet. Why? It all comes down to the community. We're one school where you pay one price like Amazon Prime and you get access to all of our classes. But what happens when you're done taking the classes? You got your Part 107. Now what? Well, if you're an intermediate pilot or expert pilot, guess what? We've got stuff for you. We've got lots of classes from cinematic movements, advanced mapping, the Don't Crash course for Phantom 4 Pros. We have so much on there right now. In fact, there's over 25 classes on that site for the cost of normally less than one class from any other drone school. But here's the thing, once you're done with classes, you've got the whole community to answer your questions and get instantaneous access to information that would normally take you quite some time to figure out on your own. And that private group, Rob, extremely positive.
What I'll say, because we check out the other groups, there's some other good groups out there, but just the tone with which people interact with each other,
totally different.
It is so different, and I really appreciate the Drone U group because, just good people in there helping each other and doing it respectfully, and I, for one, appreciate that.
I, for one, appreciate that as well. Let's play that question. If you want to become a member, go to thedroneu.com and check it out for free and get a look behind the curtain and see what's going on. Check it out.
Hi, my name is Matt from California. My situation is this. I want to start a drone business. First focusing on agriculture, then expanding to other sectors after I get a foothold. I do have a background of flying unmanned surveillance aircraft in the military. That said, there is a guy I used to know from the military that owns a drone company back east, that company I will leave unnamed. He was telling me, first off, stay away from Precision Hawk because they're terrible. His opinion, not mine. Second, he said that the agricultural market is so saturated that it's hard to get into. Also, when you first meet a grower that is a potential client, do not say that you're a drone pilot or use NDVI mapping up front because, in his opinion or his words, they all think it's a joke. My questions are, is the ag industry worth getting into, and what platforms and sensors do you recommend? Second, also, for someone new to the agricultural sector but passionate and sees an earning potential, especially the location that I live, what is the best route to take and what types of people should I contact to get a better understanding of the types of in-depth issues that they deal with in my region, such as farmers, agronomists, farm bureaus? Also, in closing, I want to say that Drone U is such a great asset for information and knowledge. I thank you for that.
I love when people give us not only nice, but intelligent compliments that are succinct. The knowledge and intelligence I've gained from this is really good. Like, I love that.
I do too.
I really love that.
Absolutely. It's appreciated.
I would say in response to his question, there's a couple things that I kind of question. There's a couple things I want to give some pushback on. And there's a couple things that I think may clarify the issues that are raised in his question.
Yeah.
Let's start from the top. So he said, he feels like the agriculture environment is oversaturated.
Which was a little surprising to hear.
I am not sure if it's oversaturated. I mean, people are going to have different experiences in different parts of the world. But I question if it's oversaturated or if it's a bunch of farmers and agriculture guys are sick of getting phone calls from people who just bought a Phantom and now they're ready to go do NDVI mapping. You know?
Right, right.
So I wonder if it's a correlation to farmers getting sick and tired of hearing from lackluster drone pilots, mm-hmm. or if the market really is saturated, because from what I understand, I don't think it's saturated at all.
Well, and that speaks to his friend's second question, or second point, I should say, and that is that apparently he's had some experiences where it's not been received well when he has contacted them, to go so far as to say they'll think you're a joke. Those are pretty stout words.
And those are pretty stout words. And I can understand why a farmer would think most drone pilots are a joke. Mm-hmm. If this is what I've heard. And I had the opportunity to speak with, I forget his name. I met him at International Drone Day, which doesn't happen anymore. But I met him at the International Drone Day 3 years ago in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he was in charge, I think it was USGA or not DA, but it was one of the agricultural bureaus, and he was the head of it. And I remember the conversation so well because I actually remember one of the things that he said, that they were moving International Drone Day to May, and how much he hated that because everyone in the agriculture business wouldn't be able to make it because of the timing. So I'll never forget that conversation. And that being said, what I understand still to this day is that there is a very big problem not acquiring the data,
mm-hmm.
Not viewing the data.
Although that takes care and planning and so forth as well.
Well, and also, if you're going to be really doing agricultural mapping, you're going to have to set up a system for a farmer.
Right.
Because you're not only going to be mapping, then you're going to be indexing his plants, and then you're going to be mapping those in a digital data interface that mm-hmm. then his tractors can make decisions on this data. So let me back up for a second, because I think it's really important to understand why farmers could be calling drone pilots a joke. The issue is not the acquisition of the data.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is the delivery of the data and the ability to take action on that data. What I see happening right now, even with CAT, right? CAT tractors, mm-hmm. Caterpillar, whatever.
Right.
A lot of farmers are really sick of the fact that they buy these tractors with autonomous features and someone still has to be in the cab to operate the CAT. All the features are not truly unlocked, and that there are a lot of issues. Now, this goes back to the Supreme Court case about when you purchase something from someone, you own that thing.
Oh, you're going deep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is a big deal because DJI has taken away features from drones. And, you know,
After you've purchased it.
And this is, again, going back to that case in the Supreme Court that just came out 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice DJI put out an update within 48 hours.
Mm.
So it's really interesting in this world that we live in. But going back to the problem, acquisition of data is not a problem. Even putting the data into maps like NDVI maps and 3D point clouds and ortho mosaics is not a problem either. The problem lies within the ability to accurately interpret the data and then give that data to a farmer mm-hmm. who then can act on the data. So there's three problem points right there.
Yeah, I would think alone the farmer, they've got to have some trust in you, right? Because they don't have the background to understand the data.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you make it look pretty and it's got all the nice reds and greens and colors in it that supposedly mean something, how do they know that those things actually mean what you say they mean?
And that it's not just a super reflective day after a nice rain?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. So they really have got to trust you. It's a very, well, like anything, it's relationship based.
Oh, 100%. But again, why would a farmer benefit from drone based data if he couldn't take that data set and mm-hmm. plug it into his existing system?
That too, yeah.
So recently a Russian hacker, good job, has hacked the Caterpillar system.
Oh, wow.
So that a PIX4D map with problem areas defined by certain colors So essentially what this guy did is he took orthomosaic maps from Pix4D and created a program that told the Caterpillar software where to water and what fertilizer and what essentially chemicals to use in specific areas.
It's incredible.
So they actually solved the problem from data acquisition to data delivery to data interpretation to data utilization.
And so in numbers, obviously we don't have the specific example, but we're talking about some pretty significant savings potentially.
Well, I think it would be significant savings if you could press a button and a drone can map your field and then you know in an hour where the problem areas are. Mm-hmm. And then the drone sent the data to a computer and the computer sent the data to your Caterpillar tractors and you're sitting there drinking a beer at 11 a.m. watching your tractors do their thing. Sounds pretty cool to me.
It sounds very cool. Now, if
Caterpillar would get out of the way, this would be happening a whole lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. But this kind of stuff is actually on the way, and if done right, it is here.
There are multiple agriculture companies right now that are developing systems that are what I just said. They are enterprise-grade solution. They are an end-to-end solution. They are acquisition, interpretation, utilization.
So it's something like, so again, his friend, and by the way, we all have friends and all of our friends have opinions and even opinions that are based in some sort of experience, but just be cautious with one person's opinions, right?
You know, I was going to mention that too, because I don't, you know, you may have a friend who says Precision Hawk is a joke, but like all companies, we've made some significant moves in 2 or 3 years. And I remember when Precision Hawk first came out, I met one of the Precision Hawk, Tyler Collins, I think it was his name.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2012, and they were using the Lancaster platform, and they've come a long way. And I am not comfortable in saying whether Precision Hawk is good or bad because I do not have enough experience.
Sure, sure. But be cautious about that. And I don't know, maybe get some other opinions before you make a decision on whether or not that's something that you're going to use. But
what was the rule of threes, Rob?
I was thinking about that actually. Didn't want to go into it.
Why not? The rule of threes is gold.
All right. Well, tell everybody what the rule of threes is.
Okay. I got to use words that are radio acceptable.
This might take a little while.
If you're listening to this show with your kids in the car, I'm about to use the B word. So you may want to just drop the volume for a second. And now it's iTunes official because I said, hey, we're going to have some explicit.
Really?
Yeah.
So they don't have to give us the explicit badge now? Because we don't want that.
Well, also, you can say the B word and it's not technically bad because it means a female dog technically. But anyway, here's the rule of threes, everyone. All right. If Rob says my mom is she's no B.
Be very rude of me, first of all.
If Tim said my mom was well, she's not a B, all right? But if three people say my mom is a B, well, she is a raging, huge that's the rule of threes.
I just think you're having too much fun cussing. That's really why you wanted to say this.
I was actually trying to lay it down because I like to use the A word for this one, as you know.
But basically what you're saying, well, not basically, you're saying if three people have an opinion about something or somebody, then it's more likely that opinion is accurate.
Yeah, and I normally use the rule of threes to help judge and gauge other people because, again, it's really hard to judge someone off of 1, 2, or even 10 experiences.
Yeah.
But if you know people who have known that person for a long time and you can kind of get their interpretations, three people who say the same thing are going to make me believe that such trait is true.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, this is, Matthew said they're military buddies, so who knows what they've been through together. But
you know what? And I have massive respect for people who have flown RQ-9s, RQ-1s, mm-hmm. Hermes, Albatrosses,
yeah.
Ravens, Hummingbirds. Like, and for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, those are all military drones. But I have massive respect for people like that, even Peter, because it's had an effect on their life.
Whether
they want to admit it or not, it's had a massive effect on their life.
It's serious stuff.
And for someone to open themselves up and give away part of their life and part of their mentality for this country, you know, for me, it's not only incredibly courageous, it's beyond...
It's sacrificial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
No, it's definitely appreciated.
It's hard for me to imagine doing it. It really is. And I even told, you know, Peter and I had a long conversation one night, and I was just like, dude, I want to fly the big things so bad. I've had offers from General Atomics, Raytheon, like, but I'm just so afraid it's going to screw with my mind. And he's like, oh, it does.
It will.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
You know, for all those people who have flown military drones, give them a second to say, Seriously, thank you. Because it's either stuff's either going to happen over there or it's going to merge and it's going to happen over here. So
indeed,
as much as it's difficult to do that job and it takes massive cojones to do it, we've got to be grateful to those people.
And we are. We definitely are. So as far as Matthew is concerned, and he's wanting to get into agriculture, let's hopefully we've maybe opened the door back up for you a little bit and said, you know, it is possible.
I think that agriculture business is possible. I think there's a lot more capital investment because, again, you've got to create an end-to-end system. You've got to give, you know, data that's actionable.
Right.
And that's a big problem. Even in regular mapping, pilots are like, I can make a map. I can do it. Okay, well, how are you going to give it to your client and then explain how the client can use the data?
Yeah.
Which program? Yeah.
So it's a big hill to climb for Matthew, but it's doable. And I think when he was asking, how do I go meet the right people? Basically, everything he mentioned is a good idea.
Yeah.
In his question.
Yes. Relationships. Don't just go to these meetings and expect to meet someone. Go out of your way to meet somebody. And by the way, I just read an article recently on Forbes, and this guy was saying that he never accepts coffee meetings because it means that someone always wants something from him.
That's really interesting.
So don't invite people to coffee. Maybe give them a gift certificate to Starbucks instead. Another thing too is don't be afraid to just, you know, go up to someone and ask them the tough question. Like, be nice and, hey, I respect you. You primer effect, right?
Yeah.
Rob, I really do love listening to the show. And you know what? Every time I see that bald head and I hear Paul talk about it, man, that's funny.
You know? Yeah, well, you know.
But I was wondering how much you make pre-tax.
For something.
You see that? You just sneak that in there.
Yeah. Well, let me think about that, Paul.
This kind of reminds me of Step Brothers. Can I interview you?
I still haven't watched it.
Didn't I buy you that movie and shipped it to your house from Amazon?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And you haven't watched it yet.
I have a lot of kids in the house.
I'm calling Jana right now and telling her, you guys better have a date night and watch that thing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Date night of her dreams, I'm sure.
On that bombshell, that is going to do it for us today. If you have a question, go to askdroneu.com and upload it so we can help you out. And chances are, if you think it's a stupid question, it probably isn't. But guess what? We do love business questions. We do love the intense questions, and we are here to help. People often ask, why do we do what we do here at Drone U? And honestly, it's about freedom. It's about knowing how to navigate these complicated airways. And frankly, we love helping people out, and we love seeing other people reach their dreams, whatever that is. And now that we're training almost 1,000 pilots a month, it's unbelievable to see what people are doing.
It's cool. It's fun. It's a really neat thing to be a part of, for sure.
It really is.
So thank you for being a part of it.
Yeah, thank you. And if you found the show useful or you found some value in the information, give it a share, give it a review to help other people find it, because you never know who you could help. You never know. You may even pass a podcast on. It could save someone's life. Which actually has happened before. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.